Chapter 28. In Japan, we refer to the years from the Depression through World War II as Kurotani, the Valley of Darkness, when so many people lived like children whose heads had slipped beneath the waves. As is often the case, those of us in Gion didn't suffer quite as badly as others. While most Japanese lived in the dark valley all through the 1930s, for example, in Gion we were still warmed by a bit of sun. And I'm sure I don't need to tell you why. Women who are mistresses of cabinet ministers and naval commanders are the recipients of enormous good fortune, and they pass that good fortune along to others. You might say Gion was like a pond high up on a mountaintop, fed by streams of rich spring water. More water poured in at some spots than others, but it raised the pond as a whole. Because of General Tottori, our Okio is one of the spots where the rich spring water came pouring in. Things grew worse and worse around us during the course of several years, and yet, long after the rationing of goods had begun, we continued to receive regular supplies of foodstuffs, tea, linens, and even some luxuries like cosmetics and chocolate. We might have kept these things to ourselves and lived behind closed doors, but Gion isn't that sort of place. Mother passed much of it along and considered it well spent. Not because she is a generous woman, of course, but because we were all like spiders crowded together on the same web. From time to time, people came asking for help, and we were pleased to give it when we could. At some point in the fall of 1941, for example, the military police found a maid with a box containing probably 10 times more ration coupons than her Okio was supposed to have. Her mistress sent her to us for safekeeping until arrangements could be made to take her to the countryside. Because, of course, every Okia in Gion hoarded coupons. The better the Okia, the more it usually had. The maid was sent to us rather than to someone else because General Tottori had instructed the military police to leave us alone. So you see, even within that mountaintop pond that was Gion, we were the fish swimming in the very warmest water of all. As the darkness continued to settle over Japan, there did finally come a time when even the pinpoint of light in which we'd managed to keep ourselves suddenly went out. It happened at a single moment, early one afternoon, just a few weeks before New Year's Day in December 1942. I was eating my breakfast, or at least my first meal of the day, for I'd been busy helping to clean the Okia in preparation for the New Year, when a man's voice called out at our entrance. I thought he was probably just making a delivery, so I went on with my meal. But a moment later, the maid interrupted me to say a military policeman had come looking for Mother. "A military policeman?" I said. "Tell him Mother is out." "Yes, I did, ma'am. He'd like to speak with you instead." When I reached the front hall, I found the policeman removing his boots in the entryway. Probably most people would have felt relieved just to note that his pistol was still snapped inside its leather case. But as I say, our Okia had lived differently right up until that moment. Ordinarily, a policeman would have been more apologetic even than most visitors, since his presence would alarm us. But to see him tugging at his boots, well, this was his way of saying he planned to come in whether we invited him or not. I bowed and greeted him, but he did nothing more than glance at me, as though he would deal with me later. Finally, he pulled up his socks and pulled down his cap, and then stepped up into the front entrance hall and said he wanted to see our vegetable garden. Just like that, with no word of apology for troubling us. You see, by this time, nearly everyone in Kyoto, and probably the rest of the country, had converted their decorative gardens into vegetable gardens. Everyone but people like us, that is. General Tottori provided us with enough food that we didn't need to plow up our garden, and we were instead able to go on enjoying the hair moss and spear flowers and the tiny maple in the corner. Since it was winter, I hoped the policeman would look only at the spots of frozen ground where the vegetation had died back and imagine that we'd planted squash and sweet potatoes amid the decorative plants. So after I'd led him down to the courtyard, I didn't say a word. I just watched as he knelt down and touched the dirt with his fingers. I suppose he wanted to feel whether or not the ground had been dug up for planting. I was so desperate for something to say that I blurted out the first thing that came to mind. "Doesn't the dusting of snow on the ground make you think of foam on the ocean?" He didn't answer me, but just stood up to his full height and asked what vegetables we had planted. Officer, I said, I'm terribly sorry, but the truth is we haven't had the opportunity to plant any vegetables at all. And now that the ground is so hard and cold...
Your neighborhood association was quite right about you, he said, taking off his cap.
He brought out from his pocket a slip of paper and began to read a long list of misdeeds our Okia had committed. I don't even remember them all, hoarding cotton materials, failing to turn in metal and rubber goods needed for the war effort, improper use of ration tickets, all sorts of things like that. It's true we had done these things, just as every other Okia in Gion had. Our crime, I suppose, was that we'd enjoyed more good fortune than most, and had survived longer and in better shape than all but a very few. Luckily for me, Mother returned just then. She didn't seem at all surprised to find a military policeman there, and in fact, she behaved more politely toward him than I'd ever seen her behave toward anyone. She led him into our reception room and served him some of our ill-gotten tea. The door was closed, but I could hear them talking for a long while. At one point, when she came out to fetch something, she pulled me aside and told me this. General Tottori was taken into custody this morning. You'd better hurry and hide our best things, or they'll be gone tomorrow.